go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you again this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy to us. Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to be faithful to you, Lord, to bring glory to you. Again, we thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to reflect that. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Let's open a, turn to Matthew chapter 24 and be verse 14 is where we're going to start. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. This is actually verse 13. He had been talking or previous verses about the Lord going to return one of these days. And then he gives this parable and says, "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who calls his own slaves and entrusts his possessions to them. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scatter no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away, and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' But the master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he with an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even that which he has shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Okay. First of all, I want to point out that this parable is what the Lord is trying to show us is that he's like a master going on a journey. And he gave his people, or the people he trusted with his money, he gave it to them. And then it says he went on a long journey. And I want to think about that, at what he was trying to teach us here, that God has given us the things that he's given us, the responsibilities, the people, the our lives, the way we live, He's given that to us. A lot of times we think that that God is just going to be right there guiding us the whole step of the way and the whole way. And every time we do anything, God's right there showing us, making everything clear to us, knowing just exactly what to do. That's kind of what we're led to believe, that that's how it is. But that's not how it is. Whenever God gives us something, whenever we start following the Lord, or even before that, there's a responsibility people have before they even follow the Lord. But what God has given us is our responsibility to keep it and to do something with it. That's our responsibility. He's not there showing us every step to take in this life. He's not going to do that. And that's what he's saying. He's like an owner. And he gives his employees responsibilities. And then he leaves. He's not watching over their shoulder every move they make. He's given them the responsibility to take care of whatever he's given them the responsibility. If God has given you the responsibility, if you give your children responsibility to take care of the chores, to feed the animals, or to move the wood pile, or whatever, the father gives his children that responsibility, and then the father goes off to work. He's not there watching every move that the children make to make sure they get their job done. They're given the responsibility, and it's supposed to be taken care of. And the father gets home, and if it's not done, the children are in big trouble because they haven't done what he said gave them a responsibility to do. He didn't guide them and coax them all the way. He gave them a responsibility and then left it to them. That is not cold. That's not hard. He's just given us the responsibility, and we are to take it and use it. That's the way what God has done with this life. Whenever someone comes into your life that God has given you to help, to encourage, to look after, parents, God has given you children. That's your responsibility. He doesn't have to write it out in a book. He doesn't have to tell you every moment of the day and say, hey, you remember them children are your responsibility. He doesn't have to do that. You know they're your responsibility. You have to take care of them. You have to feed them. You have to clothe them. You have to make sure everything's taken care of for their physical state. And then it's your responsibility to teach them how to be a godly, righteous person. And you do that not by necessarily just breathing down their neck all the time, making sure they never question anything you say, but you do that by giving them a responsibility and then making them responsible for it. Letting them take care of those things without you having to tell them all day long what they're supposed to do. If you have to keep telling them and keep encouraging them, something is wrong. You're failing. And you need to figure out a way to fix that. Our responsibility is to train children to where they can make righteous judgments on their own. Righteous decisions on their own without having to have everything spelled out for them. The thing about it is as you get in life, right and wrong are not spelled out. what God wants and what the world wants and what Satan wants are not spelled out for us. Often, Satan comes as an angel of light. And what seems right on the very surface is completely wrong. Because at the heart of it, it's not right at all. But it looks so right. We have to be able to learn to see through those things, to make right decisions, to make right choices. It isn't always the obvious right step to do. We don't always know that. That's why it takes patience and it takes endurance to wait and see the step that you need to take. You don't just run ahead and start making decisions based on your own ideas. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 3 talking about Jesus in verse 1, or Isaiah verse chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the root of Jesse, and a flower shall grow out of his root. The Spirit of God shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and godliness. The Spirit of the fear of God shall fill him. And it says, here's what I want to get to. He shall not judge by reputation, nor convict by common talk. But he shall judge the cause of the humble and reprove the humble of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the word of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the ungodly. He won't judge by reputation. And he won't use the common. In other words, whenever he makes his judgment, it won't be just because of what he's heard, or what he sees, or the reputation of that's preceded it. It'll be on what's going on right now. The real. He'll take the time to wait and see. That's the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of righteousness. Whenever something happens, when there's a problem, instead of just rushing in, waiting on running on your own wisdom, and you wait and you be patient, and you see, we've talked about the mob mentality. You know, people get in a mob and someone starts, yeah, let's hang him, and then someone else says, here, I got a rope, and pretty soon everyone in the mob is crying like the mob did to Jesus, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And they run into this mob spirit. All righteousness is gone. At all appearance, they look like they're right. And you can't convince them that they're not. It takes stepping back and just waiting patiently to see what's going to happen. We're not called to rush in and make those kind of judgments. We're not called to just jump every time we hear something that the wind blows our way. Every time a little rumor comes by, we just jump to a conclusion and we're going to take action on that. We take it in and we hear it, but we don't go grab the rope every time we hear something like that. We have to learn to make proper judgments. And in training our children, teach them to make those decisions themselves, to wait, to be patient, to look to where they can make those decisions, not just rush in. When Jesus gave or told this parable, He's given responsibility and then he goes away. That's pretty difficult sometimes. We don't know. That's what faith is. You know, we question, where is God? I wish he would give me some clear direction. But instead of giving clear direction sometimes or just exactly what to do, he gives us a responsibility. And that's how he operates. And so we see that responsibility, and it doesn't come with an instruction book. All it comes with is instructions. When God gives us children, I'm going back to that as an example, we've got a responsibility here. And so we have to learn to take care of it. We can't just go bury it and say, Lord, I'll come back and take care of it later. We have to take it, we have to nurture it, protect it, look out for it. Whenever it's having problems, we've got to bear with those problems. We've got to live with what the responsibility he's given us. That's the talent that he's given us. It's not some special ability that we think about sometimes. Oftentimes what God gives us as a talent comes as a big burden to us. And it's the one who takes that burden that God has given and works with it, accepts it. Might not always be fun having somebody calling you all the time with problems. That's never fun, just to get burdened by problems all the time. What can we do with it? Bury it? Throw it away? Get rid of it? Would we do that with a child? No. You bear up under it. You take that responsibility and you turn it into something better. That's the talents God's given us. We all have this idea that God's just given this ability and I've just got to do something with it. And that's what he's real. But oftentimes, what he's talking about here is a responsibility that he's given. What are you going to do with it? You know, people come and after a while they begin to have a problem, or they just bring a problem with them. Almost everybody that comes has a bunch of baggage. And you know, it's not too fun having to deal with all of that sometimes. I mean, they come, some people we've had come off the street, they've got all kinds of problems, all kinds of. And the way you would bury that is just, you straighten up right now or you get out of here. We're not going to put up with it. I'm going to bury it. Lord, he ought to know better. But they don't always. So we work with them. We work with them. They fail. We work with them. They fail. We work with them. They fail. We work with them. Until it just gets to the point where there's nothing, or they're just, I mean, we can find someone that isn't interested in any help at all, and they're just wanting just to steal from us or whatever. I mean, there's a difference. You can tell the difference, but that takes discernment too. But if someone's here and wants help, we work with them as long as they try to get help. Even if they're not here. There's people that are not even here. They're not with us. But when they need help, it's a pain in the neck. The easiest thing you can do is say, why are we helping them? They don't want nothing to do with us. But we help them anyway. That's taking responsibility. We ought to do it. It ought to be fun. We ought to enjoy it. We ought to do it with a smile on our face. But we don't always. But we do it. But we do it. Because it's a responsibility that God has given to us. It's an opportunity. Will we ever see any fruit out of it in their lives? Maybe not. But that's not what we're looking for, is it? We're looking for whenever we stand before the Lord and He says, "Here, I've given you a talent. Well done." God didn't say, "Look how much money you made because I love money." It's not what this rich man, that's what he wanted. But who did he praise? It wasn't the money. It was the servant that had been faithful with what he had given it. These talents. God sends talents to us. Burdens to us. Problems to us sometimes. We may not like it. But what do we do with it? That's the end result. You know, whenever He's given us a responsibility, standing for that responsibility, standing against someone that would have you get rid of that responsibility. Standing against someone that said, you ought to get rid of that burden. Often is hard. But take your responsibility serious, not someone who's fighting you trying to do it. Take your responsibility serious. Be loyal. Be faithful to your responsibilities. There's going to be people fight you in it. There's going to be people cause you trouble. But be faithful. Be one of those that when people say about you, He'll have your back. He'll have your back. I can depend on Him to be there when nobody else will. Be one of those. That's what Jesus is. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend may not be someone that you just chum around with and like even. Someone that agrees with you all the time, that's not necessarily a friend. We've got this idea of a friend is just buddies. Just big buddies. And that's all right. But that's not necessarily a friend. A friend is someone who you can depend on. Not because you depend on them, because they're a friend. They'll be there when you need it. One of the biggest blessings is to have people that go against us. But then whenever they have a need, they know who to call. That's the way it ought to be. Somebody that fights you, just is against you. But when it comes right down to it, whenever they need something or they need someone to be there for them, even when they're wrong, they know that you'll be there. That's what mercy is. That's what long-suffering is. You know, I'm probably the worst in the world about it. Whenever somebody like that, I just want to bother me. I have to go do this for them. But I get over it and I go do it. It's not that gut reaction. It's not that mob mentality that the first thought you run at with something. It's after it's all said and done. This is the talent God has given me. and I'm going to do it. It'd be a lot better. It'd be a blessing to be able to do it joyfully. We're working on that. But it doesn't always just come joyfully. But the bottom line is are you going to be there? So that the next time they have problems, they don't say, "Yeah, he won't help me. I can't depend on him. I can't trust him. He turned his back on me. He betrayed me." Be that one that even though they hate you, even though they have no nice thing to say about you, when they need something, they'll know that they can count on you. Because it don't matter what they say. It don't matter what they think about you. It only matters that you'll be there when they need you. Take those talents. You can go bury them. Yeah. Get away from me. I don't want. It's too hard. Or we can take these talents that God gives us, these responsibilities, these burdens, these problems, and be responsible for them. And when it's talking about this talents, it said the one that gave five got five more. Isn't that fun? The one that had two, he took care of the two, gave him two more. See, those kind of things add up. But the problem is, it's not really a burden. It's a talent. Who are you going to give something to and give more to? And who are you going to give real responsibility to in eternity? Someone who's going to take and be able to, you know, you always ask the busiest person. If you need something done, you always ask the busiest person. That's a little saying. The one that looks like they have no time to do anything more. But if you really, really need something done, that's the one you ask. Because you know why. So he'll get it done. Because he'll get it done. The Lord knows who he can trust. And he'll send what he wants done to the one that he can depend on. How wretched. How awful. He talked about it. You wicked, slothful, lazy servant. If we can't have patience and have mercy with people God sends our way, if we can't be there for them when they might not even be there for us, that's the wicked and slothful servant he's talking about. Oh, it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt my family if I try to reach out. If I try to help this person. Bear your talent. Bear your talent. Be wise. Take what God has set before us. and be as long-suffering and patient and merciful as you would want someone to be with you. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, thank You again for Your goodness and for Your mercy. Help us be faithful to You and bring glory to You. In Jesus' name.
Amen. My God.